chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make heaven in the middle of it. Rest make heaven in the middle. We are. Rest make heaven.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We had just this event on Wednesday at the U.S. Capitol that was, in my opinion, it was an operation. But it was highly successful. It undercut and destroyed any real investigation of this fraudulent election that occurred. But here we go with Greg Kelly at Newsmax. So here we go with Greg Kelly giving us a good synopsis, and then we'll move on with some other reports later. But listen to this carefully. So
Joe Biden got away with it. System was always stacked against our president. Much more to say about that. You know, after yesterday and what we've been through for the past couple of months, I couldn't sleep last night. And when you can't sleep, you can do a lot of things. You can go eat something. You can watch TV. Lots of things. I took out the phone, which is the last thing you should do if you can't sleep. And it got me mad right off the bat. I looked at the New York Times. And let's put that headline up. Trump incites mob. And there it is, a great big glaring lie. So many of them. Just about everything they've said about him has been untrue. And this one, I don't think they understand the media that we can see what they can see. They think we rely on them to tell us stuff. No. I watched that speech myself that the president gave from the ellipse. He said the opposite of riot.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
Anything wrong with that? Peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard? That's what this country is all about, making your voices heard. So much. They lied about so much, but again, they never realized that we could see this stuff for ourselves. So I stayed up, I read, and I read. And then about 6 in the morning, I decided to turn on the Today Show. Very peculiar, very much skewed, of course, against President Trump and the events of yesterday. But you know what was really strange? They didn't mention the name, the anchors, the reporters, for the first half hour of their much-promoted special. No mention of the young woman, the Trump supporter, unarmed, who was shot and killed on Capitol Hill yesterday. Ashley Babbitt, a veteran of the Air Force. Several deployments overseas. Again, unarmed, shot and killed, and almost totally unmentioned. We all knew that something bad was going to happen on the 6th. I knew it up here. People were talking about if you got friends and family, maybe you should have them leave town, go to the country, go somewhere isolated. I heard that here. I'm not in law enforcement. You think the Capitol Hill police got wind that maybe there might be some trouble in Washington, D.C.? Because all kinds of cats and dogs descended on the Capitol. Trump supporters were probably in the mix, but so were a lot of people who just like going to protests. And did you see this? Let's take this full. At one point, it was like, rioters, step this way. What's that all about? What was that all about? Yeah, I saw some barricades rushed, people breaking the law, breaking things, hurting police officers, and they should be arrested and prosecuted. And I understand a lot of them are already going through the system. But what are we talking about here? Why did they let their guard down? I knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. And they just seemed to let it happen at points. Totally outrageous. And by the way, the media, all morning long, before it started to go south, were saying it had already gone south. I heard it, and I saw it. I saw the headlines on television, online. Let's put this one up from Fox News. I saw a bunch of people on a sidewalk walking peacefully. And this is protests erupt. They were walking on a sidewalk. I saw what they could see, and people were just walking around. It's almost like they wanted something bad to happen, or they knew something bad was going to happen. How do they know? National Public Radio, take a look at this headline. Now, Trump supporters storm U.S. Capitol, clash with police. Story was initially posted at 9:36 a.m. in the morning. Updated throughout the day, but that's kind of weird. And how about CNN? Again in the morning, calling it a coup, a desperate coup attempt. Bunch of people listening to a speech. But in some ways, you know what? It was a coup, but not like they're describing, because the horrible scenes from yesterday scared some people. Some people who promised us that they would contest the electoral votes, like Kelly Loeffler, senator from Georgia. Remember that? Last minute, to get votes, to benefit herself politically, she said she would support the president, and she said she would call out this corrupt election. But the scenes scared her, and this happened.
Mr. President, when I arrived in Washington this morning, I fully intended to object to the certification of the electoral votes. However, the events that have transpired today have forced me to reconsider, and I cannot now in good conscience object to the certification of these electors.
She got spooked. And several other senators did as well. You know, that was a real letdown. Look, I'm not in their shoes. They've got their own concerns. You know who didn't let me down, though, and let us down? And he really was magnificent yesterday. Congressman Matt Gaetz.
This morning, President Trump explicitly called for demonstrations and protests to be peaceful. We got called a bunch of seditious traitors. Now, not since 1985 has a Republican president been sworn in, absent some Democrat effort, to object to the electors. But when we do it, it is the new violation of all norms. And now, I appreciate all the talk of coming together, but let us not pretend that our colleagues on the left have been free of some anti-democratic impulses just because we signed on to legal briefs and asked courts to resolve disputes. There were some on the left who said that we should not even be seated in the body. States that do not run clean elections should be stripped of their electors. This fraud was systemic. It was repeated. It was the same system, and I dare say it was effective. We should reject these electors. I yield back.
Time has expired.
You know, sometimes when you go through something like this, you see what people are made of. And Matt Gaetz is the real deal. I like him a lot. All right. So that brings us to Mike Pence. Mike Pence, I had an indication that he was going to go this way the other day when he said, we'll have our day in Congress. We'll hear the objections. When he said a day, that's when I realized he probably was going to take an interpretation that would, well, a narrow interpretation. A lot of people believe that the vice president under the 12th Amendment has plenary power, absolute power almost, when it comes to electoral matters once the votes are being counted. He disagreed. And yeah, reasonable people can disagree. It happens all the time. We see 5-4 decisions from the Supreme Court. But he chose a certain way, and this is what happened.
The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Joseph R. Biden, Jr. of the state of Delaware has received 306 votes. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 232 votes.
Joe Biden corrupted the system and stole those votes. They're stolen. But we have done everything we can. To a point, just remember, we never really did have our fair day in court. Never. All right? It was always a technical issue. It was always a procedural thing, a standing thing. No, the evidence wasn't sufficiently heard. And what happened in Congress yesterday, because of the violence, it was abbreviated. We never really did get a full airing of this matter. Maybe that will happen once Joe Biden is in office. Maybe they'll come for him. Why am I saying it so definitively? Well, we have heard from the president, and let's put those tweets up. You know they're canceling him. They're canceling Donald Trump on social media, so he's got to go through other people. Dan Scavino, one of his loyal lieutenants, statement by Donald Trump on the electoral certification. Even though I totally disagree with the outcome of the election and the facts bear me out, nevertheless, there will be an orderly transition on January 20th. I have always said we would continue our fight to ensure that only legal votes were counted. While this represents the end of the greatest first term in presidential history, it's only the beginning of our fight to make America great again. You know, President Trump, I wasn't always a fan. I first met him in 1987, and I was a little bit skeptical. I was a college freshman. But over the years, he impressed me greatly. Do you remember his inaugural address? That was something, it was both his finest moment, and it also planted the seeds of, impeachment and the election fraud. When he went there and told them that he would be working for us and not them.
We are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people. For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country.
That won me over. I thought it was a fabulous speech. Millions of us did, but the people who were sitting near him did not. I want to read you something from a prominent White House correspondent for the mainstream media in his book. This is John Carl. He said, those words were pitch perfect to millions of Trump supporters around the country who believed both parties had failed them. But those words were also a direct affront to the human beings on that inaugural platform, the congressional leaders, former presidents, and former vice presidents seated there. They had come to celebrate the American democracy and the peaceful transfer of power, and that had ended up getting a verbal kick in the teeth from Donald Trump in his very first act as president of the United States. It was a well-deserved verbal kick in the teeth. The swamp did not want to be drained, and they did everything they could to stop him. But sometimes you should be real careful about what you wish for, because I can imagine a scenario where Donald Trump could be even more powerful in a way out of office than when he was in. Let's see what happens, folks. I am deeply, deeply disappointed in the results, as I know you are. But let's face it, it would have been fun to watch Donald Trump be president for a couple of years. Let him do all the work. Let him say the outrageous stuff. Let him stick his neck out. Now it's time for all of us to join the fight. A lot of us were on the sidelines, just watching, rooting him on, enjoying it, but not getting our hair mussed up, not getting dirty ourselves. It's about to change. That's about to change.
Coming up, that was quite a synopsis and a summary. And coming up next is a really good coverage by America Stands. And Greg Stevens is the host of that. And he goes out and they interview a bunch of people there that were there at the on Wednesday that were at the rally. And we've got some really good insights of just normal people and what they saw and what they heard. So here we go with America Stands with Greg Stevens.
Today, Welcome to America stands. This is coverage in the spirit of faith, Friday, January 8th, 2021. I'm Greg Stevens. Thank you for tuning in with us. Back from the nation's capital with me is Tim Fox. Hi, Tim.
It's good to be back, my friends. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Yeah. Doesn't seem right without you having a beanie on and
gloves and three layers of clothes.
And,
yeah.
And freezing. Thank you for being back with us. Also with us today is Liz Joy from New York. Good morning, Liz. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
And Mike, the beginning of this week, Mike Garofalo in Washington, the beginning of this week, I said the next 48 hours will tell us a lot. I didn't know it would turn into 72 hours or more. How are you?
Good, Greg. Good.
All right. We're going to get to all of them in just a moment. At the very beginning of this, I want to say something. We told you we would always tell you the truth, never insult your intelligence. And the statements that we make, we want to let you know that when we get it wrong, we're going to tell you. And when we need further clarification on something, we'll explain it to you. Yesterday in my interview with Governor Palin, we talked about the NPR, National Public Radio report, and we have an update on that. We showed you this screenshot, if you guys can put it on. Trump supporters storm U.S. Capitol, clash with police, and we showed you the timestamp of 9:33 a.m. Eastern Time. And all we did was ask the question, can somebody please explain that to us? A spokesman for National Public Radio confirmed to the Associated Press that the original story that they had posted was at 9:33 a.m. and that the text was updated throughout the day as a thread story. So they kept updating the thread. The link of the article reveals that the original headline, which referenced the Electoral College tallying votes early in the day, it was at 9:33. It was updated at 3:08 to the headline that we showed you there, even though it says 9:33. Now, we don't know what, you know, the truth on that, but we are reporting to you the response from the Associated Press and National Public Radio. Here's my point. Mike, you've been in the news business a long time. If you're breaking a story, don't do it on a thread. That'd be my advice. Right?
Oh, without question, you're going to confuse people, especially when you have a title like that, a headline that's such breaking news.
Yeah, and that leads to the conspiracy thing. So in that vein, what we focus on is what we produce. The Bible clearly teaches that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For the past 5 years, the media and Congress have focused on one person. His name is Donald J. Trump. They're focused on removing him from office, impeaching him, smearing him. They weren't focused on you, the people, we the people. There seemed to be a different set of rules for us, one for the elites and one for the regular Americans. We saw riots in Seattle and Portland and Minnesota, Washington, D.C. Those were all okay. Those were condoned by many on the left. And we didn't condone it. Violence is never right. Many of us said last summer, that's not right. We've all probably experienced social media censoring, especially if you've said something supporting the President of the United States, and it causes a lot of frustration. We understand that. In no way am I condoning what happened on Wednesday. So I want to explain a little bit about what happened in D.C. on Wednesday. It's a symptom of something different. Martin Luther King said this, "Riot is the language of the unheard." The talk of impeachment, the use of the 25th Amendment to remove the president now, it needs to stop. We need to tone things down. Tim, you have a quote also.
Yeah, I found this quote from George Washington today talking about censorship and the First Amendment. It says, "If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter." And I think that's certainly relevant for today, Greg.
Yeah, Mike, you've been talking to people there in Washington, D.C., and I want to pitch it to you with some of the things that you've been hearing there.
Yeah, Greg, I was out here in the National Mall earlier this morning, and I spoke to folks about what's happened out here over the last couple of days, and this is what they had to say.
Well, just really sad and frustrating. I mean, it's been a divided country for quite a while, and just a lot of tensions between COVID and what's happened this summer and the election. So, you know, just unfortunate circumstance right now.
What went through your mind when you heard about what happened at the Capitol?
I was sad, but not surprising. Just knowing some of the frustration, I was surprised that, you know, people were able to get in so easily.
And my reaction was just like disappointment, first of all, because everyone was not wearing a mask. Everyone's super close together. And we have so many more things to worry about right now than the issue that was caused that could have been resolved in a more peaceful manner. So definitely disappointment was my reaction.
I think this has been a long time coming, and the American people are done. they're done with this. I think the truth needs to come out.
Now, I also spoke to a gal from Oklahoma, and she said that she and her girlfriend heard and saw some interesting stuff during the rally on the Mall.
We weren't surprised because we saw people who we knew instinctively were not patriots or MAGA, dressed up as MAGA, making what we felt were plans to cause chaos. At least our own belief and what we saw being here on the ground, we know that this was a pre-planned thing that happened. She heard them planning like coordinates and meeting places and that sort of thing, yes. And saying specifically out loud, calling us for patriots, those were MAGA people, but yet they were wearing MAGA clothes. So it was pretty obvious.
Greg, and so obviously the people that were out here that came to town, I spoke to a lot of them over the last 2 days, people from Georgia, people from Alabama. They all said the same thing. They said it was a great gathering. It was peaceful. They loved what the president had to say. And they also said that they felt that there was an exterior element involved, and that's what they believe ended up causing the problems at the Capitol. So that's kind of how it played out. Things are a lot quieter here today, as you can imagine. Greg, back to you.
They are a lot quieter. We did hear that the Capitol Police Chief and several of the top officials there have resigned from their positions. Now, you've seen some changes in security there in the last day, haven't you?
Oh, without question. And, of course, the perimeter around the Capitol where we were reporting from yesterday has been beefed up, and it's going to stay that way, we're told, through the inauguration. National Guard also on hand. They're going to stay there, we're told, through the end of the month. Now, earlier today, I spoke to a worker here on the National Mall, and he described what he saw on Wednesday in very distinct terms. He referred to two different teams. Let's say, for example, a football team. They're both wearing the same uniforms, but you can tell they're not the same team. And that's how he described what he saw and the demeanor he got from people out here. And what I'm talking about is the people that went at the Capitol versus the people that did not. And that's kind of, he's like, you know, I talked to so many people out here. They were so fantastic. You know, they gave me hugs. They were like my family. And then they're the other side wearing the same uniforms, but you knew they were not the same. Greg?
So that's interesting, and we're hearing the same story. We're going to have Liz Joy on in a moment. She was there. Tim, you were there. Mm-hmm. We were watching it all break at the same time. Very interesting that these reports are coming out. We're going to continue to tell you the story on both sides of this as we go forward. Mike, thank you so much for your reporting, what you've been doing there. Tim?
Well, Greg, at the White House on Thursday, Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany came out to the podium and condemned the violence that took place at the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday in the strongest possible terms.
I am here to deliver this message on behalf of the entire White House. Let me be clear. The violence we saw yesterday at our nation's Capitol was appalling, reprehensible, and antithetical to the American way. We condemn it, the President and this administration, in the strongest possible terms. It is unacceptable, and those that broke the law should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. What we saw yesterday was a group of violent rioters undermining the legitimate First Amendment rights of the many thousands who came to peacefully have their voices heard in our nation's capital.
5 seconds.
Those who violently besieged our capital are the opposite of everything this administration stands for.
Well, as you can imagine, and as you're probably not surprised, big tech is doing their best to censor anything
coming from the current administration. One of our team members was watching this press release last night on Instagram with the audio off, and the captions generated by Instagram were just, let's just say, slightly off. In reference to the violence at the Capitol, she says, "We condemn it." You heard her say it. "We condemn it. The president condemns it." But the caption says, "We condemn the president." And, Greg, you know, this goes to, you and I have talked about this many times, people just feel like they're not being heard.
That's exactly right. And I truly believe this, that free speech is the civil rights issue of this generation.
Yeah.
Because as long as this continues to happen, it goes to the Martin Luther King quote that I said a while ago.
Yeah.
Coming up next is Alex Jones with Owen Stroyer. And they were on the ground there, and they were participants. And Alex did put forward some money and helped organize some of the speaking engagements there. And so they have an intimate knowledge of what was going on. And they had feedback from intelligence people and a lot of other higher ups that knew possibly what the action might have been or were analyzing it. But anyway, this is a hard hitting, interview, it's a discussion between, Alex Jones and Owen Stroyer, and it's very, very interesting. And they're alleging that there was, Antifa involved and possibly some other better organized types of factions involved in this. So listen to this and we'll get on and I'll make some comments at the end.
I start marching and I realize that already there's hundreds of thousands ahead of me. I'm saying on the video, we play the start of the show. The title of it's Alex Jones tells what really happened at the Capitol. Breaks down what really happened at the Capitol. 13 minutes in is the footage of that. And so I get down there. There's already tear gas. There's already the sounds of what sounds like gunshots, but it's pepper balls. Pop, 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 pop. So I immediately climb up on a stack of chairs that they hadn't put out yet for the inauguration. I said, stop it. Don't. Come over to this side. You know, Trump won't come speak unless, you know, you got to stop that, because I didn't have the intel that was already happening. They'd already gotten into the Capitol. Well, I go around the other side, try to lead people away from there, where we're back to where we reportedly, this other group had a permit, where we're supposed to go. And we get there, and there's no stage, even though it had been there the day before. And everybody's like, so we got to examine where that came from, and then a little key piece of this. And everybody's up on the steps. So I go up there and I say, you need to come down. You need to, reverse yourself. And the footage you're seeing here is when I'm on Pennsylvania Avenue starting the march and trying to get people, gathered up, telling them to be peaceful. But 99% were peaceful. It was those small little contingents that opened up the Capitol, drove back the police. And then once they drove back the police, then, and I'm just going to say it, we have the video, we have the photos, it's all over the news, the two people. They're not feds. They're not Antifa. They are delusional. The hardcore Q people thought, we're taking the Capitol. They're all going to Gitmo. This is it. Trump is invincible. And the Q boards, the 8chans, the 4chans are like, yes, go, liberate. The storm is here. This is it. So Antifa, these guys in orange, Antifa starts it. When the riot police come out, the guys in orange accelerate it, knock a hole, pull back, and then everybody goes in. That was foolish. And then a bunch of press from National Geographic to CNN to you name it poured in behind them wanting to see what happened. So that's what happened. The larger question here is, why were the Capitol Police at a low number that day? That's been confirmed. That's why the chief is stepping down. Why did they have almost no security there? Because the whole thing was invited. The average officer was not involved. They were overwhelmed, and they were put in a trap, pawn sacrifice position, and what happened to them was wrong. And they showed a lot of restraint until later when the special security details of it looks like Chuck Schumer, we know it's Democrats, executed that poor woman, Mrs. Babbitt. And again, black guy shoots a white woman. If it was the other way around, you'd have the nation burning. President-elect Biden would be saying, burn the nation. But that didn't happen. I don't believe he killed her because she was white. But she was a Q person who literally was like, come on, we're going through. We work for the president. She was in the Air Force. She was a veteran, decorated, four tours. And she really believed that Trump was Q. She didn't know it was a guy, a pig farmer in the Philippines. And by the way, the Jaden X that shot this is a famous Antifa leader who's been arrested for organizing riots in the West Coast. And that's another thing. You see, the Antifa wears the pink shields, the pink goggles, but the black outfits and the mask. And they were the vanguard in there. And some did get arrested. That's on record. So the media is fighting to not let you know that Antifa and other shadowy groups led this. They did. They came and used mob psychology, and they identify themselves with pink handkerchiefs or pink gas masks or pink goggles. And there are all these famous guys are there. the leaders are there. And they manipulated our people. All skinny jeans. There they all are. So that's what happened, folks. And they sure set America up, and they sure helped to bring the country down. I'm not part of Q. I'm not part of any secret organization. I'm an independent American who was warned by family when I was a little kid that there were corrupt, evil globalist elements of the government because they had worked in the government in secretive areas. Pre-Delta Force, Delta Force type people. And I grew up just knowing all of this, and they were telling me how the CIA was bad because they'd been in the CIA and worked under real operations in the field, not pencil-pushing analysts and stuff. So I just grew up hearing this stuff when we visit family, everybody around the table talking, and I just thought everybody knew this stuff. So that's how I know all this stuff, is I grew up around it. But I'm not in the bad thing. I'm fighting the bad thing. Now, we had highest-level U.S. Army with us there, and I'm going to leave it at that, okay? Highest level. We have all the intel. We know everything, okay? But I'm not even able to tell you all this. You have to wait till it comes out. Now, it's in the New York Post. The police confirmed they arrested Antifa. Antifa staged. Antifa helped breach it. The goddamn Antifa did it. Owen, I mean, it's just incredible, okay? I mean, the people we have, and I'm going to leave it at that, we are dialed in to the feds, to the Capitol Police, to the CIA, the good elements of it. We know what went on, and Trump got buffaloed into capitulating earlier with the 25th Amendment threat. I would have wanted to see him then try that. Now, he may have been able to back them off now that Pence isn't doing 25th Amendment and then release more info as it comes out. But Trump must release that the damn Democrats in deep state did this. We know who they are. We know their names. But I have to reverse engineer it and then get all the activists on, like the fellow you had on, the Tyler Hansen, who's been following him. He got into this because he knew these people. He was friends with them. And they were infiltrating stuff in where he lives in Utah and in Portland, Oregon. And so we got to get him back on. But again, because I'm not going to be given classified information. I'm just told, look at this, look at that. They know. There were over 100 Antifa there. They bragged they were going. We know what they did. They did it. Did they trick red-blooded Americans, a bunch of Q people that really thought they're with the president and they're invincible, to go in there? Yes. So I just told you some of that stuff about my family, some of the other stuff, so people understand. I'm for real. This is the real thing, okay? And we're in deep trouble and surrounded. So now you Q people can stop the delusions. Owen?
Well, I think even generally speaking, and quite frankly, I'm like, all this going down almost has me in a weird calm because it just is, there's more clarity than ever, actually. But it's just like, oh, the Democrats are going to steal the election. We told people that for a year before it was going to happen. We knew it was coming. Okay, now we know. So it's like this weird thing. Where it's like, yeah, I mean, 1 + 1 = 2. It's like, oh, but you have to wait till someone else publishes it. Oh, and then, or you have to wait till someone actually does the mathematic formula on the test. And oh, yes, 1 + 1 = 2. I wasn't sure when Alex said it or InfoWars said it, but now it's confirmed. I saw it on the test and that was the answer. But Trump also just released a tweet saying he's not going to be at the inauguration on January 20th. And the reason I say that is because there's still this belief out there, call it a Q movement or whatever, that this is all part of the plan. Trump is still doing this. Trump is still doing that and all of this stuff.
What we saw was CG,
and I'm,
he's at a secret base in Texas. No, he's not.
And I understand Trump still has 12 days or 11 days, whatever the number is. And you know what? He can still do magical things. He still has his seat in the office of the presidency. But quite frankly, I'm moving on from Trump. I don't know what Trump's going to do. I'm not Trump's dad. He's not my dad. He was a great president. He tried everything he could do. We were in this before Trump. We're going to be in this after Trump. It's all about the American way of life.
When Vice asked me 4.5 years ago, what are you going to do now that Trump's been elected? I said, he's just one wave. So we don't, and we're not throwing Trump overboard. He called out the globalists. He fought hard. He's been great. He's surrounded. He's only a man. And they came to him that night and said, we're about to remove you.
Now, that is actually the one, I think, the best news of all of this is that they are still talking about the 25th Amendment. I don't know why they would be doing that if he was going to leave office in 12 days. So that's kind of a weird thing.
Because they want to embarrass him and hurt the movement. They want him to sue for peace.
The only way they could actually keep him out of office ever would be to impeach him and then convict him in the Senate. But they don't seem to be moving forward with that.
I'm
going to
lay out what's going on behind the scenes. We know exactly what happened at the Capitol in the White House.
Yeah.
And we're going to get your take on it all. And then I'm going to go in about 30 minutes. He's ready for my show. He's going to finish out the rest. We'll be right back. It's American Journal. Weekday mornings, 8 a.m. Please stay with us. God knows. InfoWars, he's been on the air now more than ever.
3.
Well, I think the best way to start this hour out is to tell the listeners and viewers I love you and I appreciate you and I thank you for coming to D.C. and being in the arena. We've had so many big rallies in D.C. This was the biggest ever, biggest Trump rally ever. And the enemy wasn't going to let it in well. So now law enforcement's confirming, New York Post is confirming what we told you days ago. Known Antifa members pose as pro-Trump to infiltrate Capitol riot. And that's they know with two of them because they got arrested. And they're prominent. And they organized a month ago. And 3 weeks ago and said that big Trump rally on the 6th, we're going to go there dressed up as, I mean, they said it on their own websites. In fact, we're putting all that together. That's our main focus, I think, Owen, is exposing them. That they started it with the police. They got the police to come out and attack the crowd. Then these guys in orange hats, not red hats, orange beanies and military gear, probably a militia controlled by the feds, I'm guessing. Then the feds will say, he says he don't like our militia and militias aren't good. No, the feds say that when they lead your militia. Militias are good or they're constitutional. I've been through this. Just like the Hatari militia and this last militia were led by feds, the one that were going to kidnap the governor of Michigan. Led by feds. And so they look like a militia led by a fed. That's what I'm saying. I think it's going to come out. But they want that for later. Oh, we learned a militia did it. So first they send in Antifa. Then they send in the militia. Those groups pull out and they put in Antifa dressed as, quote, journalists. But a lot of them got their masks pulled off and got exposed and got arrested by the police as leading it. Antifa had all the kill shot videos. All of it's them. They don't even hide. It's Antifa groups that got the damn footage. So they're very proud of what they've done, okay? They're very, very proud of what they've done, and you know we've caught them. And in mob psychology, they got idiots to go along with them. And so it's number one the president had to say. I've decried it because we learned they were infiltrators and instigators, and now he's even got the New York Post saying it. Owen, this is absolutely huge.
This is an accumulation of different news sources and individuals. And there was one thing that I want to reiterate here that came out of America Stands, and Greg Stevens put it up earlier. And it had to do with a tweet that Lynn Wood came up with a photograph of a Antifa leader out of Philadelphia. And I don't know if you'll remember, but early on, there was this facial recognition company that said they had faces of two individuals from the Philadelphia Antifa group inside, you know, the U.S. Congress, inside the building. And then all of a sudden, they retracted that and changed it, you know. But anyway, this is a Lynn Wood tweet, and America Stands has broadcast it, not only the tweet itself, but the video. But here we go with what America Stands says about this Lynn Wood tweet. Here we go now.
I want to read a tweet, and then Lance, I want to come to you. This is Lynn Wood tweeted, indisputable photographic evidence that Antifa violently broke into Congress today to elicit harm and do damage. These are not Trump supporters. Don't be fooled. Trump supporters are peaceful. It was Antifa that created the violence in our cities over the past several months. Lance, that's from Lynn Wood. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are I must be on target because I haven't heard Lynn. I haven't even heard about what's been going on inside the Capitol. I've been out on the street and out on the beat all day. I just came in to talk to you. So,
well, Lynn is right. Go ahead.
I think he's got it right, and I think that these guys are staging kabuki theater. And here's the devil always plays his hand. If you're discerning, you see it. If they were smart, they only would have pipe bombed the Democrats. But by pipe bombing the Democrats and the Republicans, how many people really, really believe that Republicans are bombing themselves? We're kind of like pulling for Pence today. We haven't given up on the Republican Party yet. Donald Trump, as far as I remember, was president of the Republican Party. So that's anarchy overplaying its hand.
Okay, I want to show you, here's the photographic evidence. We just got this. I love our team here. If you can see that photo, it's the guy, they're telling me on the left, with a photo, and there's the guy with the horns that was on the top. But if you look at the handle down at the bottom of his photo that he took, do you see what it says? PhillyAntifa.org.
Wow.
That's his own picture. There's his own handle inside the Capitol building. We have a picture of that guy with the buffalo horns there. He was up there in the well of the Senate as well. But there it is. It's his own photo that he posted himself. Sometimes criminals are not too bright, are they, Lance?
No, I love it. This is like the Charles Manson photo here. I mean, this is great. So this is how they're going to expose themselves. What I really want you guys to think about is what a great job you're doing in news right now. Because nobody's covering the news like you are. And Fox is getting so goofy in the narrative, we got to go to channels like you to find out what reality looks like.
Okay, I'm going to explain what I think occurred over. I'm just going to sort of summarize what went on. The inauguration speech was, Trump was said he's for the people, we the people. And then he went in there and got General Flynn in there as his security advisor, senior security advisor. And boy, the deep state didn't want that. So they drummed him out of that position early on. They didn't want Trump to get anyone in there that knew about the deep state. And that's what General Flynn did. He knew a lot about the deep state, and he was adamantly against it. So they moved early on to get him out of the way, which they were successful at. And then they brought charges later on and framed him up. And so that kept him tied up for a while. Other people that they moved against was Roger Stone. He was a confidant, and still is, of the president. And so they moved against him and brought indictments against him and ruined him financially. He's coming back now. And so they also muzzled him, the federal judge muzzled him, so it kept him from talking to the public and to defend himself. And also, he probably didn't communicate with Trump that much during that period of time when he was muzzled, you know. And so that was just another technique to take away people that could have warned Trump about what was going on. The other thing that happened was that he appointed the Attorney General Barr, which was his job was to go in and maintain the survivability of the Department of Justice and the FBI, but not to uncover the deep state that much and just, you could say delay, 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 stonewall, stonewall, stonewall. All the time, what they did was they offered a little bit of a carrot to Trump and said, yeah, it's coming along in this. Then all of a sudden, late last summer, they began to change their announcements and their. They were quoted as saying, oh, we can't interfere now. It's getting too late to bring indictments, so we can't interfere with the election. So that was going on all the time. But during this four-year period, they had organized an operation to destroy Trump and take him out of office one way or another. So they had colluded through Uranium One with the Russians early on in Kazakhstan. That's why Kazakhstan is prominent in this whole story. But to make a long story short is that I'm going to play a Jesse Waters, clip here at the end of one of his recent programs, laying out what really went on about some of these payoffs that went to the Bidens. But anyway, Kazakhstan figured prominently in the Uranium One arrangement with the Russians and so forth. And so that's probably why Biden has some connection with Kazakhstan and Hunter Biden also. I just don't think we're going to see much happen now, either with the Hunter Biden, indictments and all that'll be watered down and there might be some minor, infractions pleaded to, some kind of plea bargain and some kind of a minor type of tap on the wrist. But it appears now that President Trump has been controlled now and perhaps does not have the command authority to really fight this last 10 or 11 days here, 11 days into the inauguration. So some people on the far right that were formerly or I guess still Q followers are holding out the hope that somewhere down the line President Trump will bring an insurrection act or dynamic against these people. But it's becoming more and more dire, you know, situation here. And as time goes on, it's each day is lost. It becomes more desperate. And I don't know. I just don't see where he's going to do anything between now and the inauguration. He says, President Trump says he's not going to do anything on the inauguration day. He's not going to go there. But I think Vice President Pence will be there. And everyone, what happened when this operation went down, we think it was an operation. It killed off the actions of the senators and representatives of continuing their investigation of this election fraud. It completely wiped that out. It placed President Trump in a situation where he had to defend himself against all these attacks of him inciting riots, inciting violence. He never did that. In his speeches there on the Ellipse early that morning, Wednesday morning, he never incited people to go down there and in a violent way. The majority of your people there that showed up were very, very loyal Trump supporters. They were on the peace side. They weren't there to cause any kind of a violence. They were there to show numbers to the representatives to booster support for President Trump. And when this special operation went down, it destroyed the support, much of the support that Trump had had in the previous 4 years. And people started disaffecting. This really separated the wheat from the chaff, you could say, because the people that were just there to play their role and to maximize their own interest, they fell away very quickly. But people like Gaetz, Matt Gaetz, he stood up in the House and spoke his mind. Now, one of the things that disappointed me is what Rand Paul did. He stood up there and caved in, you know. Boy, I'm highly disappointed with what he said. He said that he didn't want to interfere with the Electoral College process, that he didn't think that Congress should undercut that process. My gosh, Senator Paul, part of the Constitution addresses these problems with elections, and especially when there's election fraud, that this obviously was. Then Congress can intercede and straighten that out. And that's not interfering with the Electoral College process. That is following the constitutional right that Congress has in trying to affect a fair election. When you took that stand, Rand Paul, you actually undercut the legitimate voters, and you actually went on the side of all the illegitimate votes that were cheated into this race. So you fell down on the wrong side. And I must say, people say that an acorn doesn't fall from the tree like from Ron Paul being your father. Well, I would say this about that. The acorn fell from the Ron Paul tree and it rolled down the hill and disappeared. So you have not supported and owned up to the heritage that was bestowed on you by your father, Ron Paul. Ron Paul is a fine man. I supported him twice in his endeavors to be elected. And Rand Paul, you're not even close. And we can play that speech. I think that's what we'll do next. We're going to play that speech that you gave in the Senate right now, that you rationalize your stand on this and didn't stand up with guts. He had no guts on this. But here we go with this Rand Paul speech now.
The senator from Kentucky, Senator Paul.
Senator from Kentucky. I wrote a speech for today. I was planning to say that I fear the chaos of establishing a precedent that Congress can overturn elections. Boy, was I right. Chaos, anarchy. The violence today was wrong and un-American. The vote we are about to cast is incredibly important. Now more than ever, the question is, should Congress override the certified results from the states and nullify the states' rights to conduct elections? The vote today is not a protest. The vote today is literally to overturn elections. We've been told that this is a protest. Well, this is about an electoral commission. No, it's not. It's about whether to seat the electors that have been certified by a state. It's not about an electoral commission. It's not about a protest. You can go outside if you want to protest. This is about overturning a state-certified election. If you vote to overturn these elections, wouldn't it be the opposite of what states' rights Republicans have always advocated for? This would doom the Electoral College forever. It was never intended by our founders that Congress have the power to overturn state-certified elections. My oath to the Constitution doesn't allow me to disobey the law. I can't vote to overturn the verdict of states. Such a vote would be to overturn everything held dear by those of us who support the rights of states in this great system of federalism that was bequeathed to us by our founders. The Electoral College was created to devolve the power of selecting presidential electors to the states. The Electoral College is, without question, an inseparable friend to those who believe that every American across our vast country deserves to be heard. If Congress were to give the power to overturn the state's election, what terrible chaos would ensue every 4 years? Imagine the furor against the Electoral College if Congress becomes a forum to overturn states' Electoral College slates. It's one thing to be angry. It's another to focus one's anger in constructive ways. That hasn't happened today, to say the least. We simply cannot destroy the Constitution, our laws, and the Electoral College in the process. I hope as the nation's anger cools, we can channel that energy into essential electoral reforms at the state level. America's admired around the world for our free elections. We must. We absolutely must fix this mess and restore confidence and integrity to our elections. We must.
In my opinion, Rand Paul, you were wrong, totally wrong with your view on this, especially with an obvious fraudulent election. But anyway, I want to thank everyone out there for listening, and don't give up. Trump made some mistakes, and I will touch on one basic mistake that he made and just put it out there on the table, and maybe he'll think about it someday. But in Minneapolis, when that violence first started, that is when he should have instituted the Insurrection Act and closed down that violence. And from then on, any other city where that violence flared up, he should have used federal troops to do the same thing. But he didn't do that. And I think that's, to me, that was a big, a big mistake. Otherwise, I think deep down, I think President Trump loved this country and still does. He's disheartened now and very saddened by the situation. And it's very difficult for him to affect anything from now on. And Pelosi is attacking him. They're saying that they're going to bring articles of impeachment on Monday if he doesn't resign and so forth. And then McConnell is saying that the trial wouldn't be until after the inauguration. And so it looks like they want to try to impeach him and take away his right to run for office in the future. So what this operation was and what has been going on since this, you know, campaign started for his reelection is they had to deny him a second term because he could open up and put the dogs on them and put them in prison for their wrongdoing. And there's probably billions, if not trillions of dollars that are missing from one area of the government to another one. And I think Catherine Austin Fitz, go into her site, Solari, and you'll see her reports on this situation. But I was looking over at our national debt. And from the beginning of the Trump administration to his finishing up here, I believe our national debt went from about 21 trillion to $26-27 trillion. So both parties did not restrain their spending. I think the way the Democrats played Trump was, we'll give you some more money for your Pentagon spending, which was very important to keep this the national security and our defense industry strong. We'll give you some money there, President Trump, but we still want our programs. And I think that's what, you know, Trump did. But the combination of him agreeing to those things, to a spending, and that all spending bills have to originate in the House, was that, you know, the spending was not curtailed nationwide. So we went on a spending binge, and that means that we're just spending more and more. And then we got into this COVID-19, see? And he was hoodwinked in closing down much of the rest of the country on that. And that would devastate our economy, but it's coming back now. So here we are faced with COVID-19. We've got this so-called vaccine that looks like it's a messenger RNA. It's having a bad effect on people. Some people are dying. Even some of your medical professionals are dying from being administered the vaccine. And then they're talking about, you know, distributing it, and everybody wants it, and they are convinced that this thing is going to protect them. And then all of a sudden we have all these other strains that pop up, see. And so these other strains, there's one from South Africa, I think, and in UK. There's a UK strain and a strain from South Africa that are beginning to appear here. So what we've got to do is try to decide how to address those. There's never been a vaccine to address this kind of a virus. And we don't know for sure how much of it was bioweapons designed, but we have a good idea that, yes, a good portion of it was bioweapons coming out of the Wuhan lab there in China, which the Chinese are denying. It's obvious what happened. Francis Boyle, appearing on InfoWars, has stated specifically the history of what happened on this virus. So I want to thank each and every person that's listening to this podcast, and God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America. Let's don't give up. Let's try to bring it back and unify the goodness here. Thank you for listening, and good night.